Backseat Box Office, episode number 136, for the weekend of April 26th through April 28th, 2013. Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Jeff.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Hello, everybody, and hello, Jeff.
Hello, Lena. I was going to ask you something, though.
Yes?
You said your name is Lena. I thought you changed your name to Princess Talkie Pants.
That is a good name, though, isn't it? Princess Talkie Pants. When I was editing last week, my God, it was just me. Babble, 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 babble. Don't ever ask me to describe movies. Because nope. I will just ramble on forever.
But that's why you're here.
But I know, but I don't want to put the good people to sleep who are taking time out of their commute to listen to us when they drive to and from work.
Hey, if that's how they want to use our show, we don't want to tell anybody how to live their lives. We're just thank you for listening.
Very, very. Thank you. Yes, that is true.
As you drift off. But anyways.
Well, hopefully I wasn't the cause of any car accidents.
No, I don't. Let's hope not. All right. So how was your weekend? Did you see any movies lately?
Funny you should ask. I saw a movie tonight. Not at the movies. I haven't gone to the movies, but I saw a movie on my computer. The wonders of technology.
And?
I saw Inception.
Yay! Okay, all right.
I was like, of all weeks, this will be the week he doesn't ask if I've seen a movie.
Well, that's not going to happen.
I know.
So, what'd you think?
For the first 20 minutes, I had no idea what was going on. Not a flippin' clue. The first 20 minutes, and I was sitting there, lying there. I watched it in bed. I'm lying there thinking, if the entire movie is like this, number one, I won't get through it all. And number two, I'll have nothing to say because I'll have to go read the plot just to figure out what the hell I was watching.
I did that. I Wikipedia'd that stuff when I got home from the theater because I knew I didn't comprehend 100% what was going on. And I've watched it multiple times, and my mind's been changed multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Because I remember when it came out, there was the whole thing with the little spinning top. Mm-hmm. Is it still spinning? Is it going to fall? And I had no idea what people were talking about at the time. Because I didn't read about it. I kind of kept away from any knowledge of it, because I knew it was something that you had to really concentrate on. And I didn't want to have to do that if I hadn't seen it yet. I liked it. I completely forgot Hardy was in it. Mm-hmm. That was nice.
Yeah.
I know. You think he's cute, too?
I think he's a good, charismatic actor.
That means cute. Okay.
My wife really enjoys
him. Your what?
My wife really enjoys his work.
As do I.
We watched This Means War together.
I haven't seen that.
It's an okay movie. I mean, there are some laughs. I mean, Tom Hardy and Chris Pine, you know, Kirk from...
Oh, okay.
Are both vying for the affection of Reese Witherspoon.
Yes, yes, yes.
It was directed by Mick G, who did Terminator Salvation, and I think he directed a chunk of the television series Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
So, it felt like a 90-minute Chuck movie, just because of, you know, the action, nothing ever goes wrong for them.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for her to sit down and watch it, but I know that she's not gonna, she's not into the very cerebral movies where, you know, what did I just watch? Kind of like when you see Usual Suspects.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
Yeah.
Anytime I run across that on TV, it doesn't matter where it is, I will just stomp. But it's even better if it's, you know, the last half hour where everything just kind of filters into place, because that is just the best.
So did you enjoy Inception?
I did. I really did. The visual effects were just incredible. When the city kind of folded up and kind of circled in on itself, that was pretty damn cool. And all the anti-gravity scenes.
No, when I have to be honest, I was kind of falling asleep when I went and saw Inception in the theater.
Uh-huh.
Until the train went down that city street. That's when I woke up. This is that. Okay, that's freaking cool.
That totally threw me. Where the hell did that come from? I loved, and more than once I would kind of stop while I was watching and try and figure out how many dreams are they in. I totally have lost count how many layers we've gone.
Well, that's the beauty of the internet, Lena. I can send you at least 3 links to visualizations of how many levels deep they were in.
That would be cool.
Yeah. But I'm glad you liked it, and you still have it in case you want to watch it again.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll just have it on if I'm doing chores around the house. And I also own the soundtrack. So, you know, it's a really good soundtrack.
So do we get into the discussion of whether the top was continuing to spin, or does it not matter to you?
I don't know.
Or do you change your mind often?
I think you have to think that the top's going to stop spinning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's visual cues in there, like when he shows up at the house, the exact same house that was in Limbo.
Right.
And the kids are the same age as they were in Limbo. Even though, I was just going to say Limbo, because time flows the slowest in Limbo.
Mm-hmm.
But you're always thinking if he is still in his dream. The counter argument is he still in his dream at the end of the movie?
Right.
Now, one big clue that I got from slashfilm.com about whether you are in reality or whether you're in the dream state or in mm-hmm. a is the bystanders. Because when you're walking through a crowded area, the bystanders seem to pay attention to you more than they normally would.
Because they're part of your... They're something that you created.
Right. Right. Even though if we're in DiCaprio's dream...
Mm-hmm.
Necessarily concerned about him, they're concerned about the other people. The other people in the dream. So you know, there's a lot of, you know, gray areas.
Oh yeah.
In this movie, and I think that's just Nolan just having his way with your brain. For lack of a better term.
And he's damn good at that.
Yeah, he is.
I still remember the feelings I had when I saw Memento. Did you ever see that?
Yes. As usual, some of the best movies I've seen is after I listened to a Backseat Producers episode.
Ah.
They did one on Memento.
I saw it when, I mean, I was still living back in Boston. I remember seeing it with 2 friends of mine the weekend it came out, and then getting into gigantic fight at the end because one of my friends didn't like it, thought the concept was stupid, didn't understand it, and I was ready. I just wanted to punch him. I was so mad.
Well, the thing about Memento is that I kind of got spoiled on a little bit by the television series Lost.
Was that at the same time? But you saw Memento later. That's right.
I saw Memento later, and the flipping of the flashbacks.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Flashboards in season, I think it was season 3.
Yep.
Kind of trained my mind a little bit to, you know, that this could be a thing that they do in filmmaking.
That was 12 years ago. Good gosh.
Yeah. But it's still a great movie.
Very much. Yes. I haven't seen it in quite a while. I actually would love to see it again. I like that. I like something that makes my brain wonder what the hell's going on. Mm-hmm. And that Inception certainly did that. Memento did that 12 years ago. I like it.
Too. I'm definitely in on the Christopher Nolan bandwagon. And I'm anxiously waiting his next movie. So thanks for watching Inception. I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, I did. Thank you for sending it to me.
Yeah. No problem.
Yay.
No problem.
Any other movie you want to talk about? Feel free to send it to me. Woo!
Okay, well... Got to be careful of that stuff. Anyways. So why don't we, since we... let's end this Inception Love Fest and talk about how the box office did last weekend.
Alrighty then. We have Oblivion opened at number 1, grossing $37.1 million. 42 came in second, grossing $17.7 million. The Croods held at number 3, grossing $9.2 million. Scary Movie 5 came in at 4, grossing $6.2 million. G.I. Joe Retaliation fell to number 5, grossing $5.8 million. The Place Beyond the Pines, which I kind of forgot about, rose from 10th to 6th, grossing $4.9 million. And as far as movie pickings, I'm just going to throw out Olympus Has Fallen came in at 7th, and Evil Dead came in 8th, because we did have, I don't know about Olympus, but we had one person put Evil Dead in their top 5. And on that note, why don't I just swing over to how we did with the movie pickings. Yes, we did have 125. Quite the surprise from Princess Talkie Pants. Oh. Princess Talkie Pants had a 25. Yay! I need to have a t-shirt made with that now.
Oh, how can we go on?
I even forgot I called myself that, but now that you have, it makes me happy. Princess Talkie Pants.
If I'm Miss Congeniality, you can...
Lovely Miss Congeniality. It works for me. So, yay me! I got all 5 of them right. Woo! And of the... Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Of 10 people who played, we had 8 people with a 23. 4 different combinations of picks. But actually, BD, Jeff, and Nick all got a 23. All got a 23 in the same way. And since Nick has a voicemail, he can tell us all how you and BD picked.
Hi, this is Nick. Number 1, I'm going with Oblivion. 2, 42. 3, The Croods. 4, G.I. Joe. And 5, Scary Movie. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. And since I always repeat it, and Jeff, it was your pick, tell everybody how you guys picked.
Okay, well, I guess we had a Oblivion at 1, or Oblivion at 1, 42 at 2, The Croods at 3, we had G.I. Joe at 4, and Scary Movie at 5. So, obviously, we got the first 3 right, and then number 4 was flipped with number 5, so we lost 1 point each on that. So we got a nice 23.
And a 23 is very nice. And next, Art and Kugron also had a 23. They both had the same picks, and Art has a voicemail, so he will tell everybody how he and Kugron picked.
Hey, this is Art calling in my picks. I think I'm just going to go with straight box office forecast. With Oblivion coming in number one, 42 coming in number two, The Croods number three, G.I. Joe number four, and Place Beyond the Pines number five. We'll see how it goes. All right, bye.
Thank you very much, Art. To go over that one more time. They had Oblivion 42 in The Croods, correct, in the first three spots, G.I. Joe Retaliation in fourth instead of fifth, and they had A Place Beyond the Pines in fifth instead of sixth, each of those losing a point. Scott also had a 23. He had Oblivion 42 and The Croods correct as well. He had A Place Beyond the Pines in fourth, and that came in sixth, giving him a 2-point loss, and he had G.I. Joe Retaliation correct at number five. Also with the 23, Mrs. Beast and Scuba Dave, and they both had the same picks. They had Oblivion in 42 correct. They had Scary Movie 5 in 3rd instead of 4th. The Croods in 4th instead of 3rd. And they had G.I. Joe Retaliation correct in 5th. And winding things up, Father Beast with a 21, so everybody had very good scores. He had Oblivion 42 and The Croods correct. He had Evil Dead in 4th, and since that came in 8th, that was a 4-point loss. And he had G.I. Joe Retaliation correct in 5th. And now on to our happy little leaderboard. BD is still in 1st place with 22.3 points. Art is in 2nd with 22 points. Kugron in 3rd with 21.7 points. Monty is in 4th with 21.2 points. Jeff, you are in 5th with 20.6 points. Scott is in 6th with 19.72 points. And Nick is in 7th place with 19.7 points. Scuba Dave is in 8th, which I believe is a bit of a climb for him, with 19.5 points. Tad is in 9th with 19.4. Father Beast in 10th, 18.8. I am in 11th place with 18.2. Mrs. Beast in 12th, 17 points. And Mentally is in 13th place with 13.7 points. And that is it for the results show. I thank you for indulging me.
You're welcome. So you want to talk about movies this weekend?
That would probably be a good thing.
Okay. Which one are you excited about more, The Big Wedding or Pain and Gain?
I think Pain and Gain.
All right. Okay, so our first movie that's coming out in theaters this weekend, Pain and Gain. From acclaimed director, wow, it does say acclaimed director, Michael Bay, comes Pain and Gain, a new action comedy starring Mark Wahlberg, Dwayne Johnson, and Anthony Mackie. Based on the unbelievable true story of a group of personal trainers in 1990s Miami who, in the pursuit of the American dream, get caught up in a criminal enterprise that goes horribly wrong. I guess if it went horribly right, it wouldn't be a movie. Okay, so rated R, 2 hours and 9 minutes. In addition, it also has Rob Corddry, Tony Shalhoub, Ed Harris, Ken Jeong, Rebel Wilson, and I don't recognize the other names.
No, neither do I. The previews I've seen on TV look entertaining. I'm not entirely sure if I'll see this. I would not protest if I was going to the movies with friends and this is what they wanted to see. Yeah. It looks entertaining.
Right now it's at 59%. So it's one tick under Fresh.
But 96% of the people who've rated it want to see it. But then again, I suppose, why would you rate it if you don't want to see it?
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, I don't know if I'd go to the theater to see that one. Okay, movie number two, The Big Wedding. With an all-star cast led by Robert De Niro, Katherine Heigl, Diane Keaton, Amanda Seyfried, Topher Grace, with Susan Sarandon and Robin Williams, The Big Wedding is an uproarious romantic comedy about a charmingly modern family trying to survive a weekend wedding celebration that has the potential to become a full-blown family fiasco. To the amusement of their adult children and friends, long-divorced couple Don and Ellie Griffin, De Niro and Keaton, are once again forced to play the happy couple for the sake of their adopted son's wedding after his ultra-conservative biological mother unexpectedly decides to fly halfway across the world to attend. With all the wedding guests looking on, the Griffins are hilariously forced to confront their past, present, and future, and hopefully avoid killing each other in the process. Rated R, 1 hour and 29 minutes. And usually it's not a good sign when the description starts off with all the people that's in it.
So it's the birdcage with more breasts than the birdcage.
Well, there could be a case made for some man breasts in the birdcage, so I don't know if that statement actually holds water. But anyway, so yeah, this movie is unreviewed. That's worse than a zero.
A little too hokey for my...
I mean, if they don't want to waste an hour and a half, that's not a good sign.
I know.
Other reviewers seeing this movie. So, this is also a wait for Lifetime.
Oh, yes.
Hallmark Channel, whenever that's going to be on.
Absolutely.
So that's it for the wide releases.
Ooh.
Would it be time to make our picks for this week?
Oh, already? That seemed to come about very quickly. Isn't there another movie I can talk about for 45 minutes without stopping?
I don't know.
No, that's just because I have to make my picks first, and I don't like my picks. Okay. Oh, fiddlesticks. Okay. Oh, I hate this. I know Oblivion's doing really well, but I don't want to put that first again. Because I think people are just going to come out. Because there's two new movies. And even if I don't want to see it, a lot of other people want. A lot of people are going to want to see The Big Wedding. It's got De Niro, Katherine Heigl, Diane Keaton. It's got a whole lot of people. I'm actually going to put Pain and Gain at number one. Because that looks more entertaining to me. Of the two movies that are coming out. Ah, jeez. I'm going to put the Big Wedding at number two. I'm so shooting myself in the foot, but whatever. I'm putting Oblivion at number three, 42 at number four, and The Croods in fifth. And my art house pick, which is really the only one I feel at all kind of okay about, is Mud. Because I watched the trailer before we recorded, and it looks very interesting with Matthew McConaughey. And apparently, I did not know Reese Witherspoon is also in it, but it's mostly Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, I might go see that. Done?
Yeah. For what it's worth, I'm done.
Okay. So, my picks are somewhat different than yours.
I do not doubt that.
And what could be the title for next week's Backseat Office? I'm going to put Pain and Gain number one. Whether I will be on the pain side or the gain side, we'll have to see. Number two, I'm going to put Oblivion. Just because Tom Cruise, as much as I like it, isn't going away.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I'm going to put 42. Because I'm sure word of mouth is keeping that up. We'll be keeping that up in the top five for a while.
As it should.
At number four, I'm going to put The Big Wedding. I have yet to see a romantic comedy or comedy in general open that high. With the exception of Identity Thief. I just don't... there hasn't been a lot of marketing. I haven't seen the commercials for The Big Wedding.
Oh, I'm lousy with them here.
Yeah. But that's probably because I've seen a lot more Iron Man 3 commercials. And last night, I must have seen 5 Star Trek Into Darkness commercials. Not that I'm
good. I have not. I wish I would.
But, and that number 5, I'm going to put the Croods. Because what else are the kids going to see? And my indie pick, I'm also going to put down Mud.
Woo!
So hopefully, I'm sure the biggest Reese Witherspoon fan I know, Tony, will take his wife to go see it. So he'll have to tell us how it is. Or probably not so much.
Not so much.
And those are my picks.
I'm not feeling... I don't know what to do with The Big Wedding. I put it in second just because I'm not entirely sure how much Oblivion is going to drop compared to, I don't know. But it's kind of, other than Scary Movie, which is on its way down, it's the only comedy. Which is why I put it in second. True. And I am ashamed to say that when I wrote down my picks really fast at first, and I had that first, and I kept looking at it going, that is so wrong. Of all of the 5 picks I had, the only one I did not change was Oblivion.
Hmm. Okay.
My 1 and 2 I flip-flopped, and my 4 and 5 I flip-flopped. But I think I feel better at least about what this is than what I initially had.
Okay. Well, we're done with the picks. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, there was something I was going to say about Tom Cruise, but I can't remember it.
Well, funny you should say that. I happen to have a Tom Cruise news story to talk about.
Oh, okay then.
I was very saddened to hear that they are going to be remaking The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh.
I think last month or the month before that, they said that Tom Cruise has been cast as the lead, so he's going to be playing the same character that was played by Robert Vaughn.
Oh.
But some people in the industry wasn't sure if it was going to go anywhere. I mean, because sometimes they say they're going to do it and that, you know, they never get to even pre-production.
True.
Well, they've cast another star for The Man from U.N.C.L.E., or Man from U.N.C.L.E., excuse me. Armie Hammer will be playing, I guess, the second male lead in Man from U.N.C.L.E. What we know is we have Tom Cruise and Armie Hammer with Guy Ritchie directing. So Guy Ritchie has done some... I enjoy his work. I enjoyed Sherlock Holmes, both of them. So we'll have to see. I'm going to try not to reserve judgment, but, you know, it's just another show that they're remaking. They're just, strip my childhood.
Yeah, I don't...
Yet again.
I can't really see him in this. I mean, I've taken issue with many things Tom Cruise has done, and then every once in a while he'll throw in something that shows me that, oh, you can act. And I think perhaps the last time I said that might have been The Last Samurai.
Oh.
Which...
Haven't seen that.
I thought it was a fantastic movie. And I actually do, I own that, or I have a copy of it on a CD or something. If I can find a way to get that to you, I will. If it's in good condition, I don't even know. I ran across it when I was unpacking. Who knew?
I'll count that as good luck.
Exactly. That was... that might have been the last time that I actually said, you know, sometimes I forget Tom Cruise really is talented if he just picks the right vehicle. Not that, you know, all of the Mission Impossible, but then, you know, I've not seen any of the Mission Impossibles, so he could be fantastic in those. I have no idea. I'm just not a gigantic fan of his when he does like super action movies. Although I enjoyed Minority Report. But that was a little, that had kind of some different stuff going on in it as well.
Yeah, I've seen everything I need to see about Tom Cruise as an action hero.
Understood.
So, also want to talk about a couple trailers that I happen to come across.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I want to talk about was a movie that got talked about during the Argo episode of Betsy Producers. Have you seen the trailer for This Is the End?
I was going to, because that's right, when I was doing the notes, I actually wrote that down, and I forgot to.
Okay, so... you heard what the premise is.
I
probably don't remember. Okay, so it stars James Franco, Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill. Why am I blanking everyone else?
Danny McBride, Craig Robinson.
Yes. Okay, so they all play themselves.
Oh.
Okay, and they all are at a party at James Franco's house.
Okay.
And then the world ends.
Emma Watson, Michael Cera, Jason Segel, David Krumholtz, Paul Rudd, Mindy Kaling, Kevin Hart, Rihanna.
Yes.
The hell? Christopher Mintz-Plasse, Aziz Ansari, and the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, so for those who aren't familiar with who Mintz-Plasse is, that is McLovin from Superbad. Now... the one thing I thought after I watched the trailer was that this is the hot tub time machine for the Superbad generation.
Oh.
Superbad was written by the same people that wrote this movie and the same people who had written Pineapple Express.
I have not seen Pineapple Express yet.
I haven't either. But it just looks like one of those movies that got conceived after too many tequilas at a bar one night. which I'm very sure is how Hot Tub Time Machine conceived. So I'm looking forward to this movie because there's a lot of people that I enjoy watching. Aziz included.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I'm definitely going to watch the trailer after we finish the show.
I was going to post a trailer
on
Backseat Producers Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't find one that would be okay. That would be toned down. Just like why I haven't posted a Kick-Ass trailer. I wanted to post a Kick-Ass 2 trailer.
Yeah.
But no, it looks very funny. I just hope I'm not disappointed. And the second trailer I want to talk about was one I actually did post to the Backseat Producers, the Facebook page.
Which I have not seen yet. I saw it and I didn't know what it was at first because I didn't even know that that was a movie.
So it's basically Men in Black. I'm sure it was a graphic novel or a comic series of or some such. That's being brought to the big screen where it's basically Men in Black, but both of the agents are recently deceased or undead. And it has Jeff Bridges. And when I saw it, I thought it was Tommy Lee Jones and the character from True Grit, Rooster Cogburn.
Mm-hmm.
This character in the movie is basically their love child. And Ryan Reynolds is the, you know, the young sidekick. whatever. So, you know, it looks like a good summer movie that, you know, don't bring your brain.
That is a very good thing sometimes.
Yes. So I'm actually looking forward to those two movies. Anything that you want to talk about?
That was a weird sound.
I'm always up for a weird sound.
I don't think so. I still haven't played Shadowrun. I came home Friday night and I was sitting at my computer and then I lost the internet at 7 o'clock. And thought, all right, you know, fine, I'll have dinner, whatever, I'll go back and look later. I come back maybe 2 hours later, still no internet. I call them, and they said, well, this time it's them. There's an outage. And we don't know how long it's going to be, but we're working on it. Fine. So I did some unpacking and then went to bed early. Woke up Saturday, still no internet, called them. Yeah, we still don't know what time. Seriously, I hate you guys. I had no internet. This may not be a big deal to some, but for me it was torture. 27 hours.
Wow.
If not for my phone and being able to get to Facebook and my emails, I might have gone on a violent rampage. Might have.
Well, let me ask you this. So what'd you do? Go into the, I don't know if you have a backyard, but churn butter or do something that other Amish people do?
I knitted a cozy for the entire apartment complex.
Okay, all
right. I unpacked and did some cleaning and ran some errands and did things I should have done anyway, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it sounds like you were forced to do all those things.
Yes, exactly. I was forced to do things that I'm supposed to do. Who wants that? But I did get some more boxes unpacked. I think I got 4 more done. So, again, slowly things are coming into place.
Well, I ran a 4th edition D&D last Friday night.
I saw the thing. I saw your post about that.
And pro tip about running a game is you might want to read the rules before you do, because it's because we kind of stopped in the middle of the second adventure because thanks to Dungeon Magazine, I basically have adventures for them to get the 20th level, so it's very easy for me. It's not something I had to make up or figure out what's going to happen. But I don't know what it is, but these little clues that I'm leaving that kind of are supposed to tell what's going on just are completely going over people's heads. And but you know, it was a lot of fun.
That's good.
It was a lot of fun. So
I'm hoping
to get back to Shadowrun.
Yes, but I did the last 2 weeks when I thought I was going to play and couldn't because of internet problems. They didn't play. They didn't two weekends ago. I think they didn't. Other people couldn't make it, or there was some other thing. So they basically had some kind of food fight, and I have yet to listen to that particular podcast to see what the hell he was talking about. I don't know yet. And last weekend there was something going on with some of that. There's like 6 people playing now. There's a lot more people. I'm still, you know, even though I've played through one mission. I can't think of the word at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still completely like the newbie because the 2 other people who are playing have just, you know, they've been doing this stuff for years and years and years. And so I'm feeling even more nervous, like I'm playing for the first time again. Because it's like, oh great, more people who have to deal with someone who still is trying to figure out what all this is.
Yeah, but you don't want to turn away players.
No, and they're like, you know, they're very welcoming and they're excited and they like the fact that, you know, someone's new and someone's still learning because we can fill this person's head with all sorts of stuff.
Right.
And I'm happy to play. I like it. I enjoy it.
Good.
What I would like to do, and I have yet to figure this one out yet, I would like to play a game where I can actually go and sit with people and play. I just need to figure that one out.
Well, how did you meet? Is it Justin?
Justin. I work with him.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend who we've had conversations about that. The gaming group that we have now, I think my friend and I are the youngest ones.
Mm-hmm.
We have one player who's well into senior citizen land, and then we have the other two guys that are in their, I think, late 40s, early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had conversations about, because there were times where we thought the group might break up. And my friend was really concerned about it. So he went out and he found that there are like gaming groups. I don't want to say gaming groups. It's almost like basically what they are. They're called RPG meetups. And mm-hmm. he went to one by his house, and there was like 100 people there. And it's just a meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up getting into a group of these college kids. And until he started, met someone over Facebook, and now they're living together. Now,
okay.
They've moved in together, and now he's, you know, watching her son, so he's kind of like the dad now.
This is the older man?
No, this is my younger friend.
Oh, okay.
So,
Wow.
Yeah, so he doesn't do it anymore, but I would say, see if you could find a local gaming store in your area.
There actually is one. It's closer to where I used to live. It's like about, it's a 20-minute drive now. It's a place called Anthem Games, and I do think that they run, they have game nights and things like that. I just haven't, I don't know, nervousness. I haven't gone there yet to,
yeah.
to talk to anybody.
No, I mean, you know, it can be hard, especially when you're trying to do this by yourself.
Yeah.
You know.
I follow them on Twitter, so that's as far as I've gone. But they do, like, looking at their calendar, they have games of some kind every night. And I know that there's events and contests and all sorts of tournaments and whatnots. But that's the other thing, is I don't know if they have any, like, I don't know if you have beginner things or if you just let anybody sit in on anything, and I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that. I just think, you know, if you come across, you know, gamers, and, you know, as long as they want you in the group, I don't think that, you know, anyone is that has so many gamer friends that they're going to turn people away. And they
mm-hmm.
they kind of want to turn you into a better gamer. At least that's how I would approach it.
And that's, you know, and everyone I know who does game, they all say the same thing. And I think it's just me kind of feeling nervous about it. I think if I was 20 years old, I would not have a problem at all just walking into one of these places.
Mm-hmm.
I'm slightly older than that. Slightly. But I will. It is on my list of personal to-dos, is to see what the hell goes on there and see how I can be a part of something there.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out when would be the right time to spring RPGs on my son. Because he's 10 right now. And he loves his Skylanders, which is a Nintendo Wii RPG game.
Didn't Tony play some with his kid? I remember him posting about them. Like for his, what was it, his 8th or his 9th birthday? There was dice for all the kids, and they were playing something or other.
So I don't know if my son has the attention span for that right now. And I'm sure that he just wants to run around and kill things. So if I threw anything like that, you're good. You just can't go around doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Until he's a little older, because, you know, there have been some games that in high school where it was like we turned around 5 minutes later and ended up being a Tarantino movie.
God.
All right. Well, I think we've talked enough, or I've talked enough.
I think we both have.
Based on last week, I'm sure you could keep going.
Aww.
I'm just kidding.
You make Princess Talkie Pants sad.
Oh.
Oh no, I'm. I fully admit I'm a talker. Even though I may appear to be shy, once you get me going, sadly, it is really hard to shut me the hell up.
Well, that's why they're podcasts.
Yeah, so I, for this, at the very least, I found a good way to channel that. And I think that, as we've said, that's all we've got for this week. So, everybody have a good weekend. Enjoy whatever movies you're going to see. And good luck with your movie picks, everyone who is going to play.
Yes, good luck, everyone. And we don't do this enough. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you very much. We appreciate everyone who listens, everyone who plays, everyone who has anything to do with the entire Backseat Producers family of happy-go-lucky podcasts. Have a good weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.